First portion we're going to look at is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Let's read these two verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. All together. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Then turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll read verses 1 through 16 responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is ripe, I will give it you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for both of these passages, and I thank you for the truth that I'm about to bring forth. Give us ears to hear. Help us, dear God, to understand. Help us, dear God, to get involved. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, we are told to walk by faith and not by sight. And the parable of Matthew chapter 20 is an illustration of some who chose to walk by sight while others chose to walk by faith. In the parable, we have a man who owns a vineyard and he needs some laborers. And so he needs them to gather in his grape harvest. So early in the morning, he goes down to the labor-ready office to find some workers for the day. He finds some men that are ready, willing and able, and they agree to work a full day for a penny. So these men are sent into his vineyard, and they get to work bringing in his grapes. About 9 o'clock, about the third hour of the day, he realizes he has more grapes and laborers to pick them. He's in need of more help. So he goes back to labor ready, and he sees some guys in need of work, and he tells them to go into his vineyard and that he will give them what is right when their day's work is done. Now, these fellows are not putting in a 12-hour day like the first group, but they are going to work most of the day. Now, all they have is a promise by the owner that he will do them right when their day's work is over. They go to work. And once again, he realizes that he still doesn't have enough workers. So he goes back at noon and he finds more laborers. He hires them for half a day and he promises them whatsoever is right, he will pay them. They don't ask what they will be paid. There's no agreed upon amount. All they have is the word of the one who hired them. He looks again at his vineyard and says, I can't believe it. No matter how many folks I hire, I still need some more help. So he finds more men at 3 p.m. and he tells them, go into my vineyard, you work hard, and I'll do right by you. So they work. And then after 2 hours, he goes back and he asks this last group, why are you standing around? How come you aren't working? They said, no man has hired us. Well, go into my vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. He now has a vineyard full of workers harvesting grapes. Some have been there all day long. Some for 9 hours, some for 6, some for 3, and the 5th group will work for just 1 hour. I did say that this parable illustrates those who walk by sight and those who walk by faith. And here's why. Only one group of these workers went out by sight, and that was the first group. They knew exactly what they were going to get at the end of the day. That is what they chose, and that is what they agreed to, 1 penny for the day's work. Everybody else that day worked by faith, not knowing how much they were going to be recompensed. All they had was the promise of the householder that he would do right by them. They had the word of one who employed them, and to them that was enough. They had no idea what was meant by right by the one who hired them. So all they had was his promise, and they labored, brought in the grapes by the bushel, all the while trusting in what this householder told them. Now this is the picture of the way we believers are to serve the Lord. You see, we are to serve the Lord with the time that we have left, even though we really don't know what God is going to do for us when our labor will be over and our work on earth will be done. I do know that God is not a debtor to any man, to any one of us. And there are some crowns that we can earn, such as the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of glory. But there are rewards that we will receive, and we don't have any idea what they are, but all we have is God's word that we will be rewarded. For instance, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, of course, this passage is found in the Beatitudes. And notice what it says in verse 12. It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for what? Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they prophets which were before you. Now, here we see that we will be greatly rewarded if we handle persecution properly for his name's sake. Now, are we told what that reward will be? No, all we have is God's word on it. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41, it reads this, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, what is that reward? I don't know. Does anybody here know? Obviously not. But we do have God's word on it, do we not? That if we do these things, we will be rewarded. In Matthew 16:27, it says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his fathers with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. In Matthew 9:41, Jesus states, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his what? Reward. Now what is that reward? I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? No one knows what it is. All we have is God's word that we will be rewarded for doing so. We also have the promise of rewards for laboring in his fields and having a part in the harvest of souls. Listen to what is recorded in 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Folks, we who serve the Lord and do what we should be doing will be rewarded. And while we are not told what our rewards will be, we must simply put our trust in God that he'll do whatsoever is right by us. So if I'm going to labor for the Lord, I'm going to have to labor by faith, am I not? Because I don't know exactly what I'm going to get until I see him and he comes back for me. All I have is a promise. But I need to trust the one who made the promise, for he is better to any one of us than we deserve. Now, in this world, I get to look around. I get to see what I can have. I can see exactly what this world has to offer. Now, if I labor for things of this world, it's no secret what I can obtain. I mean, I can see those new cars. I can see those big houses. I can see that Rolex watch. I can see those expensive clothes. I can see fame and what power brings. I see that quite easily. And I need to make a decision. Am I going to give my labor to gain what this world has to offer and obtain that which I can see? Or will I labor for the Lord and by faith be rewarded later on? I can be one of those believers who live by sight and think the things of this world look pretty good, and so make the decision that I'm going to live for the things of this world. One must decide. Will I live for the temporal, or will I live for the eternal? Will I live for gold or for God? Will I live by sight, or will I live by faith? Will I live for something, or will I live to serve my King? Now, if I choose to serve the Lord with what time I have left on this earth instead of fame, power, and possessions, I don't know exactly what he is going to give me when it's over. All I have is a promise that he'll give me what is right. Now, this seemed to be enough for Moses. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, it says this about him. By what? Faith. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, notice this, he made a choice. Rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the what? Moses had everything the worldly believer who lives by sight could wish for. Yet he gave it all up so he could live by faith, and he believed that he would be recompensed by the reward that the Lord promised to him. Are we told what that reward was? Did Moses know what it was? But Moses laid hold of the promise, believing God would recompense him richly for doing what he was doing by faith. I believe every one of us would agree that Moses made the right choice. But the question is, how is it with us? Who or what are we serving? Are we laboring to get things? Or is our objective and purpose to serve the Lord? Are we living for what we can possess now? Or the reward that is promised to us that we don't know what it is, but we will receive at some time in the future? All we know is Jesus will give us what is right. So let's do what he says. Let's labor for him. Let's live by faith. And when we get recompense for doing so, we will be glad our labor was not in vain, for what we'll receive on that day will far outweigh anything this world has to offer. I know our service for Jesus will be rewarded, but I don't know exactly what those rewards are. We don't know, but we can trust him, can we not, to do what is right by us? I have found it amazing that so many believers turn down opportunities to serve the Lord. And they do so for things that are far less important. Sometimes it isn't something that will get you notice. You may not receive any praise from men. It may be a task that someone else could even do. But if we will receive a reward for giving one a cup of cold water in his name, don't you think God knows what we are doing and will reward us accordingly? There is no small labor done for God that will ever be overlooked by him. We are to labor for the Lord while we can, for tomorrow we may rise and get our reward. All of those who go to heaven do so by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by grace through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, and that alone, where we will arrive in that city of gold one day. No amount of service, labor, sacrifice on behalf of anyone could gain them entrance into the place the Lord is preparing for his people. All who have called on the name of Jesus to save their sinful souls will dwell in that new Jerusalem forever. But not everyone there will have the same reward. For some live to serve him, while others live for what they could see. Now this is illustrated for us in what is known as the judgment seat of Christ. And we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. For other foundation could no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, whether you live by sight or live by faith, whether you labored for God or you labored for gold, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a what? Reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. By pursuing what you can have by sight, you are going to exclude some rewards you could have received by faith. If I were to put all my effort, all my time, all my energy into getting bigger and better things, and that's what consumes my life down here, I will be robbing myself of rewards that I could receive from Jesus. I know all I have is his promise to recompense me whatsoever is right. But how can I possibly go wrong believing in the one who is true and faithful, good and giving, and can do abundantly above all that I think? Do we really think that God is going to shortchange us if we live by Matthew 6:33? Doesn't that verse tell us, but seek ye what? Seek ye what? Ask yourself, is that what I seek first? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all these things shall what? Be added unto you. Do you know that the Lord has added unto me more than I ever expected in this life? You know, I'll tell you, me and Connie were discussing this on the way in, and she asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and I said, well, I'm preaching on living by faith. And she says, you know what? I'm so glad that we have done that. She says, you know what? We have been blessed beyond measure because we have done so. There is so much that we have that I never dreamed that we would ever obtain. And it's all because, you know what? We claim this promise. We seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I laid hold of this promise, and I can't wait not only for the rewards that I believe I received already, but there's going to be future rewards for doing so as well. I'm amazed at what the Lord has given to Connie and I. And it's not because we live for those things. It was we labored and we served the Lord. We live by principles and precepts in His Word, and God has blessed us for our faithfulness. I have found Him to be reliable in that which He has promised. He has met our needs and added to us much more, and beyond that, there are still rewards to come. We have a choice to live by sight or to live by faith. To live for things that we can see. And by the way, things are not necessarily wrong unless we give our life to having them. If I live for things and spend my life to obtain what my eyes behold, then I sacrifice time I could have spent in service to the Lord. We all have only one life to live, and we are the only ones who determine how we will spend the time we have on earth. Yes, there are things that look mighty good down here, but they often are nothing more than shiny objects that keep us from serving the Lord as we should. You know, all we have is a promise. I know that. And I believe that He's going to do us right when our work is finished. And though we don't know what our rewards will be, I have a pretty good hunch it'll be much more mobetta than anything I could have labored for down here. I want to live by faith so I can please God. And I believe He's a rewarder of those who do so. You know, I tithe by faith. I believe He commanded it. I believe He keeps His promise to those who are faithful giving it. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? The church. That there may be meat in mine house. This is the house of God, is it not? And prove me now. Some of us aren't willing to prove them. We don't believe them like we should. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I have no idea when I started tithing what the reward is for doing so. But I know there is one. I still don't know what it is. But I know God has taken care of us. I give above the tithe. I give offerings. I don't know what the reward for that is, but I do know this. God will do right by me. This much I know. Since I have followed His financial principles, I have always been able to pay my bills, and I don't have the money problems others who rob God have. I am faithful by faith. I don't know exactly what the reward for that is, but I do know there is one. And I'm trusting God that I will be pleased with it when I get it. I forgive by faith. I let God deal with my enemies by faith. You know, I pastor this church by faith. And I have no idea what rewards I will receive for serving you, but I believe it'll be a whole lot because you people need a lot of service. No, I'm only kidding. But I don't know what it will be. what I'll get for loving you, faithfully declaring the whole counsel of God to you. But I know there is a reward, and a day is coming when he will do right by me. I don't know what the reward is for suffering for his name's sake, but we best learn how to act as a Christian when we are wronged. We have a tendency to be tore out of the frame over the least bit of offense that comes our way. We don't seem to have the ability to be long-suffering and patient with those who do us wrong. And yet we are told to keep our eyes on Jesus. But I don't know what the reward is for turning the other cheek. But I gotta believe there is one. Some may not know this, but at this time in my life, I could be a very wealthy man. In the early 90s, I was offered a job for $75,000 a year. All I had to do was counsel the owner of this company. That's it. When I told him I'm going to be a pastor, he said, well, you can be my own personal pastor. That's all you have to do. I will hire you for $75,000. Just give me counsel to keep me on the straight and narrow. Now, how many think $75,000 was pretty good money back then? You know, you're talking 30 years ago. Then when, and at that time, I was making less than $10 an hour. In the late 90s, while working as a doorman at the Broadmoor, I was offered a job starting at $100,000 a year. And at that time, I was making less than $25,000 a year. Now, that was a lot of money back then. I believe it's a lot of money today. I can only imagine how much I would be making today if I were to be employed at those places of business. I don't think I'd still be making 75 grand, nor do I think I'd still be making 100 grand. How many think I'd be making a bit more than that? You know what? I believe I would be living in the better part of those towns. One would have been Atlanta, and the other would have been Greenville, North Carolina. I believe I'd be living in a pretty big house, one that was finely furnished. I'd be driving a luxury car provided by the company I'm working for. I'd be eating at the finest restaurants. I'd be wearing expensive suits. I'd have a rather large nest egg for retirement. I could take Connie on lavish vacations anywhere she wanted to go around the world. Hopefully, I'd still be in church. Hopefully, I'd still be given to the work of the Lord. Yet I gave all that up because God called me to preach. And before those offers came to me, I decided I was going to live by faith and do God's will for my life. You may wonder, do you regret your decision? Not one bit. I am one who has found his will to be good, acceptable, and perfect. I enjoy being employed by the master and working in his vineyard. I take great pleasure in sharing the gospel, preaching his word, and serving him by serving others. I have chosen to walk by faith and not by sight. If I had chosen the opposite, I would have shortchanged myself, just like all those who agree to work 12 hours for a penny a day. I would much rather believe he will do me right when the day of my labor will be over. You may wonder, what's waiting for you at the judgment seat of Christ? How or what God is going to reward you with? I don't know. But I can trust that he will, and he will do me right, and so should you. I believe too many of God's people who are saved on their way to heaven shortchange themselves by choosing to live by sight and everything this world has to offer. We all have a limited amount of time to serve the Lord. For some, you may have 12 hours. Some may be 9. Some may be 6, 3, or 1. We have limited time. But it's only those 9 to 1 hour people that God gave that promise that He would give them what is right. Take what time you have left. Do not shortchange yourself. Let Him do you right. Stop living for things and start serving the Lord. All I can say is, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. You can walk by faith, or you can walk by sight. You can live for the things of this world, or you can live for the Lord. That's a decision each one of us need to make. What will your decision be?